Good morning. It is 10:01 a.m., December 18, 2024. I call this meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Chrisman, joined by Commissioner Sherry Haugenhofer and Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. Before anything else, would you please stand and join me in pledging our allegiance to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Trying to think here quickly. I don't think I had any opening comments. I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Haugenhofer, to you.
Last commission meeting. Well, pending a last minute or one at the end of the year, which I think we're probably going to have. So,
last regular commission meeting.
Okay, regular, yes. Yeah.
So then I won't say, well done, great job, all those nice things. Okay, I can get rid of this folder. Other than that, no, I have no opening comments.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't have any opening comments either. Just, yeah, I'll save my parting comments for tomorrow and the final meeting. So just get to business today, I guess.
Okay. we have, by my count, because there's been some changes back and forth and things switched from regular to consent stuff. By my count, we have 8 items on the consent agenda, and I move approval of those plus the previous minutes.
Second.
Sorry. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, the only item in my portfolio that seemed ready is a revision for the Falkirk mine. However, we are waiting for just verification from OSM. It's not like something has been found wrong here or anything like that, but just to check all the procedural boxes and not get questioned on anything that we let something slide. There's a revision, verification that we're waiting for from OSM. And I delayed pulling this from the agenda until now because we were hoping maybe late yesterday afternoon or early this morning we would get it. So this, I don't know how long this can wait for them to get their revision, because remember those strict time schedules that have to do with OSM. So I haven't found out like what the absolute deadline when they would potentially have to stop mining or something like that. But I don't know if this is going to be cause for any kind of a special meeting or anything, but I'm feeling like we can't proceed now. So I'd like to pull this from the agenda for now until we get that verification. So I have nothing else on my portfolio, so I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Haugenhofer. It looks like you've brought a full deck.
Yeah, I brought a full deck, full house. So, first one, I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission's Cobra Oil and Gas Corporation Damage Prevention Enforcement case numbers DM23-270 and DM-24234.
Second.
Thank you. I'm going to split these two up, talk about each case, but when we get into the settlement agreement, we lumped them together. So on the first case, DM23270, back in July 2023, the commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from an individual alleging a violation on 3 separate occasions by Cobra. Alleging that they are not filing, did not complete a positive response. And what a positive response is when a ticket is filed, they expect that ticket to be closed somehow, either by marking it clear or it's marked. So they a positive response is a follow-up to the one-call ticket. And when on October 16th, COBRA received responded to the complaint, and based on that complaint, staff did further investigation into the positive responses with COBRA. And they found out that during a two-year period from June 2021 to February 2024, they failed to provide a positive response 395 times out of 898 times, which is a failure rate of 43.8%. The staff, doing a great job, worked with COBRA, and in follow-up, since April of 2024, COBRA has been working on improving the response rate and is maintaining 100%. So that's the first case with their failure on providing positive response. The second case, DM24234, is the staff received a one-call complaint from Enbridge alleging that they did not call in a ticket at all. And COBRA responded to the staff acknowledging that they failed to place a excavation or location ticket before beginning. So the staff worked with both of these in one consent agreement. And based on the first case, DM23270, with failing to provide a positive response, the penalty is assessed a penalty of $10,000 with $5,000 suspended. And then on the other case for failing even to provide a ticket, they are assessed a penalty of $500. So in combined, as indicated, they are assessed a civil penalty of $10,500 with $5,000 suspended, on the condition that they commit no further violations within the next 5 years. If there is violations, then they will have to pay the remaining amount. And they have 10 days to submit the suspended portion of the penalty to the commission. And with this, I support this consent agreement.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Okay, I will say, and I want to highlight here, I'm not grumbling about this. I intend to vote for it. But this is one of those areas where the legislature hasn't really micromanaged what penalties should be, other than the $25,000 mm-hmm. cap. So my understanding has always been we look at that as like the most egregious of violations or deaths or things like that and scale from there down to the smallest of numbers. And so I feel like in total we kind of have this right, but when we have these, sometimes if I think something is a little high or a little low, I guess I like to throw it out so staff has that perspective in future cases. And I get that they had, when it was investigated, that there had been a lot of those violations of responding to one call and confirming that, yep, we got it done now. But I'm not aware of any evidence that they weren't actually doing the locations. They just weren't calling back and saying, yep, I'm done. And so even though it was a lot of them, to me, the key thing was done in that they marked it so someone else wouldn't hit something. And for that, for just not calling back and saying that it's done, they get a $5,000 fine. But for digging without calling in, they get a $500 fine. And to me, that's where the real danger was to some employee or someone else or someone else's facilities, when they were digging without calling in first. And so I think this is generally in line. Like I say, I'm going to support it. But I just thought that from my perspective, the positive response thing is maybe a lesser issue to me than is the digging without calling when you are, in fact, a company that owns this kind of material. We're not talking about the retired guy putting in a tree in his backyard. We're talking about professionals here. So anyway, that's just my perspective on it, but I do intend to support the motion.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company meter and distribution tech cost recovery rider tariffs and rates case number PU-24-307.
Second.
On August 1st, Otter Tail filed a request for approval on its advanced metering and distribution tech cost recovery rider rates for 2025. The purpose of this rider is to recover the costs associated with advanced metering infrastructure, demand response, and the outage management system not presently reflected in retail rates. We issued a notice of opportunity and no responses were received. In this filing, Otter Tail proposes a $1.7 million revenue requirement to be collected from customers during this next year. The increase in the revenue requirement is primarily due to a $1 million increase in the prior year true-up. So with the calculation on what is needed in this requirement for this tariff, the revenue requirement calculated costs include $4.8 million for advanced metering infrastructure for AMI, like I said, and $153,895 for demand response. The calculation also includes credits of $2.2 for operation maintenance savings, $41,752 for carrying charges through 2025, and a true-up of $889,750. Due to the fixed nature of the proposed charge, all residential customers would see an increase of 0.34 cents per month from the previous year, and with a total monthly rate of this addition of 73 cents.
Is there any further discussion?
It just came up to, it just came to mind, like, how is this being handled in the rate case? Is this still a rider, or is this being converted into the rates, the regular rates? Do you know, Sherry?
I think this is separate. This is kept separate, right, Chris? Yep.
The outage management piece was completed, and that was rolled into the current rate case.
Okay.
And the automated meter reading is in process, and it is not in the rate case. And the demand response piece is still waiting on. They're kind of waiting on an approval from the Minnesota Public Service to get that moving forward. So those are still in the riders. So the outage management piece has been moved into the base rates.
Okay. And so how did that affect this rate then?
It would have removed some of the cost from there. I don't have the exact dollars per month in my head on that.
Okay. So that's outage management is out. The meters and the demand
are still in. Mm-hmm.
And will, because they're still in process.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And the anticipation being completed in 2025, I believe they said, or the first quarter of 2026.
They'll be done with about 90% of the automated meter reading this year.
Yep.
And then due to the complexity of some of the remaining meters, they're going to do the remaining portion of the automated meter reading in 2025, like second quarter. And then the demand response is going to depend upon approval from Minnesota as far as the timing to get that piece done.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company Transmission Facility Cost Recovery 2025 rates, case number PU-24-336.
Second.
On September 16th, Otter Tail filed an annual update to its transmission facility cost recovery rider. We issued a notice of opportunity and no responses were received. So in this rider, Otter Tail included six new transmission projects. Four of them were to extend the lives of existing projects. One was to rebuild a project, and the remaining one was a greenfield project. The new projects contributed $37,224 to this 2025 revenue requirement. Otter Tail proposes a 2025 transmission rider rate of 24 cents for the residential customers, which is a 1.3 reduction from the 2024 revenue requirement. The reduction was largely driven by a 1.5 million over collection from the previous periods and will be returned to the customers through a true up. We dug in a little bit to why the amount of 1.5 million over collection. And that was due to 760,000 of a true up was due to a forecasted amount that was mistakenly hard coded into a spreadsheet. 500,000 was because Otter Tail received more MISO revenue than forecasted. And then 300,000 was from delayed project spending. So the change results in a billing decrease for residential customers using 1,000 kilowatt per hour per month of a 96 cents over the existing transmission facility cost recovery rider. So it's nice to know a decrease in a rider of 96 cents.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Could I make a couple more comments on the last one? Just for the record. I think it's important on the meter reading tariff for customers to kind of understand the benefits of that, because that was one where it is an investment, but there was a corresponding decrease in costs that the company's going to have. So I think ultimately it saves money, or is a small increased cost because they won't be sending staff out to manually read the meters. They're going to do that automatically. And a little bit of bragging on Otter Tail Power. That company, they skipped the intermediary process where they had like the manual meters. And then there was a technology that a lot of the companies adopted sort of as the next generation. They didn't do that. So this is kind of, and that saved people money. So they jumped to this much more modern technology that has a bunch of different benefits, including it's going to be automatically read, not manually read, but it also will provide customers a lot more data about their usage so they can potentially control their bills more in the future with different tariffs that could be more granular in nature. So it's really a significant change that actually customers will see and be able to feel and notice and use a lot more than some of the investments that electric companies make in technology that's way, you know, away from customers and generators or other system investments. This is something that is very customer focused. So while it is a line item on their bill that they'll notice, I think it's one that has a lot of benefits that customers will enjoy.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I making sure we're on the right case now, going back and forth. So we are going to be on PU-24-349. I move the commission adopt the order in Northern States Power Company Transmission Facility Cost Recovery 2025 Rates, case number PU-24-349.
Second.
On October 3rd, NSP filed an annual rate update to its transmission cost recovery tariff. On the 22nd, the commission issued a notice of opportunity and no responses were received. On November 26, 2024, the commission held an informal hearing with NSP on this matter. The total revenue requirements to be collected in this next 2025 year is $4.7 million. Or 22 cents per kilowatt. NSP included five new transmission products in this tariff, and those are four new projects that are in MISO's long-term transmission tranche one projects, and the other is adding a second 345 kV circuit to the Brookings line. The new projects contribute approximately $550,000 to the increase in the 2025 revenue requirement over the 2024 revenue requirement. Other drivers contributing to the increase were a $288,000 increase in the communication network program and $260,000 increase in major line rebuilds, with the remaining increases spread over several other projects and programs. So the change results in a billing increase for the residential customers using 750 kilowatt per hour per month for a total of 59 cents over the existing transmission rider. So this year, they'll see an increase, as I said, 59 cents in addition to the existing rider. So the total TCR rate for the customers will be $1.67 per month.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I do want to make a point here, but it's... this is an example of something not so specific to the case. And maybe I notice it more than each of you do, because although the two I'm going to mention are both electric cases, but this goes for our gas cases too, but these public utility cases that fall into each of your portfolios, we are getting phenomenal memos from our staff. In this case, it was Adam, and I will say through the case, I was struggling to figure out exactly how what was originally going to be Wisconsin's issue, but now is actually impacting region-wide, and so we should pay some amount of it. But there's a difference because Wisconsin uses AFUDC, and we oftentimes don't, and so why should we, our ratepayers, pay that extra? Really valuable, and really the same thing for Chris's memo on the earlier case with Otter Tail's meter rider. And so I just wanted to point out that even when we come off, maybe we have a work session on some of these cases and it's pretty fresh in our minds, a year or two down the road when a constituent contacts us and it's not so familiar anymore, and we want to go back and figure out, okay, why did we do that exactly? Having these memos at the end that are well-written and explained, but not 100 pages long, I think are really, really valuable for our process and system. So kudos to the PUD staff, in this case, Adam and Chris, but they all do an excellent job.
And I concur, Randy, and I didn't know when I was going to make that comment about going through these riders. It does take a lot of work. They're filed annually. The staff scrutinize it really well. A lot of times there are some errors, non-intentional, but they just do a phenomenal job. And then when they prepare their memos, and then a lot of times I follow up with more explanation like I did on that last case, is what was that 1.5 million oversight? What? So again, I do acknowledge what you're saying, and there is a lot of work into these rider cases. So job well done, staff.
Any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order in Northern States Power Company bill credit rider refunds application case number PU-24-362.
Second.
Thank you. On October 25th, Northern States Power Company filed an application to us to approve North Dakota share of various refunds to customers via their bill credit rider. On the 26th, we did have an informal hearing to discuss this matter with NSP. Based on that hearing, the next day they did submit a supplemental finding advising us of the receipt of the 15th DOE settlement payment. So there's a lot of components to this refund to North Dakota customers, and I'll go through them. They're proposing a refund of a total of $15.4 million to North Dakota customers over this next year through the bill credit rider. The refund total includes the proceeds from three separate land sales and the 15th DOE settlement payment and over earnings from 2021 and 2022. So the land sales were 348 acres near Sherco in Becker, Minnesota, 6.8 acres near the Sherco Generation Site, again in Becker, Minnesota, and 10.94 acres near the Prairie Island Generation Site in Red Wing, Minnesota. They said that these land sales were, this land was no longer needed. The total land sales totaled a little over $8.2 million, with North Dakota's jurisdictional share being $405,000. The 15th DOE settlement payment totaled a little over $10.6 million, with North Dakota's share being $538,348. Then when we're looking at the over-earnings from 21 and 2022, they had to return earnings in excess of 9.75% on their return of equity. So this translates to a total refund amount of $7.1 million for 2021 and $7.4 million in 2022. So when looking at all this refund that I just went through, the proposed refund would provide a bill credit of $77.19 for the time period of the year of January 1st, 2025 through December 31st, 2025 period, or which equates to approximately a $6.43 per month for the average resident using 776 kilowatt per hour. So it's nice to have my last order indicating a refund for NSP customers. So there was a lot of work in this, looking at all the refunds on this bill credit, and I support it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Did you have comments?
I do, but I'll wait.
This is one where there's so many interesting things about it, but I'll just focus on the over earnings because I want to again highlight staff, and just point out that when there's rate cases, often one of the features of a rate case settlement might be an earnings sharing program, and this is how those play out. So they have their allowed our return on equity that they can meet. I forget what it is for NSP in this case, but say it's 9.9 or 9.5 or something like that. If they earn more than that, then the earnings sharing mechanisms, if they exist, kick in. And we get annual reports from the companies on what their earnings are. And our staff goes through those. And then in this case, NSB overearned, and I'm sure that they came forward. I don't think our staff had to tell them that they overearned. They came forward with this methodology for sharing. Oh, it's 9.75. Sorry, was their earning? They earned in excess of that, and so they had to share the overearnings with their customers. I just want to note it for customers that because we get a lot of grief from customers or push for why do these companies get to earn this much? How come they get to do that? And that's part of the rate making process where they are allowed to make earnings so that they have investors who are interested in investing in them and they can get the capital they need in this very capital intense business to make the system investments that everybody is counting on to ensure reliability and affordability of their power. So it's a big complicated system and there's a lot of players in it. We set this earning amount, 9.75%, and said, but if you earn more than that, which would suggest that the rates are higher than they need to be at least that year, that's why we do that. They earn more, so the money goes back to customers. And this just shows that we are in it for the long haul. We're constantly engaging with these companies, keeping an eye on the ball, keeping an eye on what they're doing, how they're investing, and how they're earning, and what their expenses are, and what the rates are. So this is just shows that process in full circle, that they earn more than they were allowed in their current rate system. So those extra monies are going back to customers.
Is there any further discussion?
Sorry. I should have went first so that we could end on an optimistic note, because I'm going to be the killjoy here. Uh-oh. And this is a well-done order and everything. Our staff did a great job. The company did everything correctly here. That's not my gripe. But I'm hearing more and more enthusiasm for nuclear energy generation these days. And so I think it's important in life that when things aren't working right, do we actually learn lessons from things that aren't working right. Part of this refund is the 15th, not just some occasional, this is the 15th DOE settlement payment because the federal government has not provided permanent nuclear waste storage. Even though we, the companies, the regulators, and the federal government got way ahead of our skis 50 years ago and approved all these nuclear plants, before we figured out what we're going to do with the waste. That is so irresponsible. 20 years ago, we were right on the cusp of a solution. Now we're nowhere near a solution because we scrapped that one. And our federal government doesn't have the guts to step in and say, well, since states and local governments aren't able to come up with a nuclear storage site, we have to, so we're going to supersede you. They're willing to come out and with something, I don't remember the terminology for it, as recently as I think yesterday or the day before, where they establish corridors where they're going to supersede the state's siting authority to build transmission lines so they can add more renewable generation. But they won't supersede on this. What they will do instead is send out checks to buy people off. But lest anybody think that they have the money to make those checks good, be assured they do not. They are borrowing it from your children and your grandchildren who have nothing to say about any of this, who are going to pay interest on it through a good part of their life till they get old enough to start helping to pay it back. I find it to be an outrage that in 50 years, our country refuses to acknowledge its mistake and come up with a solution, even though that solution is going to be irritating for someone wherever it goes. But since we're talking about it more and more, whoever wants to add nuclear generation, I'm looking for that. Is it really zero waste? I know the new technology has less waste, but show me where it's zero waste permanently, then I'm interested. Or whoever's the advocate for it, please show me where in your home county you're working on siting the permanent storage and getting it done. But I'm really frustrated by our society continuing to borrow from future generations to get our society to shut up about what's going on here and accept temporary storage.
Is there any further discussion?
Brandy, I'm glad you just gave that speech. Because I'm going to copy it in one of my future Energy and Commerce Committee meetings, because this is on the docket in that committee. And I have been keeping notes on how much money and this whole process. Tend to shed light on it and offer what I can in my small ways of providing momentum for solutions, because we do absolutely have to have solutions, and it should be tied into the permitting of the new stuff that everyone's excited about. So I'm optimistic we have opportunities for improvement.
Well, let's be optimistic on solutions.
Yeah.
Be solution driven. Absolutely.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I actually have a better idea. I'm going to invite you to come and testify yourself in front of that committee.
You would deliver the message.
No, much better to have a sitting commissioner. I'm definitely going to be doing that.
Well, I'm just there, just a cowboy.
That's Chrisman with two N's.
Please wear your cowboy boots.
And did you have any portfolio items?
No, I don't.
And that concludes.
Nope. Yeah,
I guess I jumped ahead on that.
Nope.
Okay. With that, a few announcements that I wanted to make before we go into recess for questions. And not really a lot, I guess, because it's on our calendar, although I'm sure everyone has figured it out by now. The formal hearings that were scheduled for today and tomorrow and Friday are all canceled. Make sure I'm starting at the beginning. There is a celebration event in the Memorial Hall tomorrow at 3:30 for our own Commissioner Yay. Julie Fedorchuk as she gets ready to depart for Washington, D.C. to actually make great things happen for America.
I like that she has her first agenda item.
That's a long list.
On this scheduling business, in our admin part of the meeting, I'm hoping that we will be able to finalize our commission schedule for 2025 to go on the Secretary of State's website and such. But so right now, our next regular scheduled meeting is not set yet, but I expect it will be before we go to break bread. And I do anticipate, also as part of admin, maybe the potential of a special meeting on Friday and maybe the potential of a special meeting on like the 30th or 31st or something like that, the things I'm going to be bringing up for discussion. So they're just not ready to announce yet, but I didn't want to have it like be deceiving that I didn't mention that, and we go into admin and schedule stuff. So anyway, that's all I have for announcements. With that, we will stand in recess and take some questions from the press.